Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 277, recorded on November 14th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This show is sponsored by Smile and their wonderful Text Expander 5, which improves your communication and helps you type less with snippets that you create. We'll talk more about them later on in the show. And Automatic Labs, automatic car adapter, the ultimate iPhone accessory for your car. Improve your driving habits, diagnose, check engine lights, and more. Find out how to get $20 off later on in the show as well. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Mildly frustrated.
Mildly frustrated? Why?
I know. It's a shock. I have a feeling we'll be ranting in a few moments about this. Let's just say I'm having inventory issues.
Ah, okay. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast, and I believe Adam is also having inventory issues, which he's planning to go
slightly miffed is my current state.
You're going to put on like a black turtleneck soon and start rolling around and watching what trucks arrive at the Apple Store?
I'm going to be camping out at the Apple Store.
On an adjacent roof or something?
I'm going to actually don a turtleneck and a knit cap.
Yeah. Yeah, a tactile neck.
I'm basically Captain Ahab hunting the white pencil.
Yeah. Yeah, sit on an adjacent roof with like a long scope.
Big spyglass.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I want pictures of this.
I do too.
Yeah. Just going to harpoon the guy.
Yeah, harpoon him. Okay, we may not want to harpoon him. You want to get something from him. So the iPad Pro is available for purchase. You can get that in the store, assuming you can find one. They're back ordered, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't seem too bad. But yeah, some of the stores are selling out of certain models and things like that. But as far as getting an iPad Pro itself, I don't think that's super difficult.
Yeah.
Well, it can be tricky.
It's tricky. Right? If you want a 32 gig model, it's a lot easier to find one.
So
if you want a 128 gig model, Wi-Fi or LTE, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, that's true.
So the 128 is the hot model?
That's the hot model, which is no surprise.
Surprising. Yeah, is that surprising to anyone?
I guess there's really only two, right?
There's three models, two capacities, 32 gig Wi-Fi, 128 gig Wi-Fi, 128 gig Wi-Fi plus LTE.
Hmm. Yeah, you're spending a lot of money on the Wi-Fi cellular. But
I was just going to say where you might benefit is, I think, and I saw this happening at the Apple Store yesterday, some people are bringing their online ordered 128s back because I think they went day one and picked one up in the Apple Store.
Oh, they're taking them back?
Well, what they did was they floated the money for two iPads.
Yeah, so they ordered pre-ordered online.
Yeah, and then found they could get one in store that day.
Gotcha.
And the shipments are starting to show up, I think, for the people who ordered them online, at least some people.
Yes. Yeah, I know a few people that ordered on launch day, and they had their iPads, some of them on Thursday, but most of them on Friday.
Yeah, so I saw one guy yesterday returning his to the store. He's like, anybody want it?
I got one.
Because it was a 128, you know, being returned, and he obviously had already bought one probably the day before at the retail store and then received his shipment.
So. Cool. Yeah.
He probably could have sold it for a lot more than the refund.
True. Yeah, but I mean, who wants to deal with that hassle?
Well, it depends on how many people line up at the store for you.
Just sit out front scalping iPads.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Hey, buddy, You want a Win 28 iPad? Got one right here.
Yeah. Yeah, so the, but the pencil.
Ugh.
You can't get the pencil, I guess. Well, you could. You could probably just take one because they're just there.
They're right there.
They're right there. And that was one of those things that I was thinking last night. That's one of those Apple Touches that you're not going to get anywhere else. You're not going to see a $100 accessory just laying there without any sort of security on it.
I won't be surprised. I'm surprised we haven't been hearing stories of those things just walking out of the store.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do with it, right? It's not going to do anything unless you have the Pro.
Well, the people that are going to steal them have Pros and can't get a stylus.
Okay, so you're talking like crazy middle-aged men who
and don't do
who
that.
Can't
We're
get
not
a
condoning.
Pencil.
No one should walk
that's a
an
bad
Apple
thing.
Store.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But I am surprised it's not happening in droves because of the lack of availability.
Yeah. So, Adam, you're going to be later on after the show. You're going to head down to your Apple store.
I'm going to go down. I mean, I've been calling around and I've been trying to, you know, the rumor that is around is that, and there's evidence to support this, is people are finding them occasionally in Apple retail stores. They are showing up at certain locations, but there's just like no information on when or how or where. I mean, I've been checking the app like a madman because I called Apple to check inventory and one of the people said, well, you know, our system is the same system that the app uses, but I can't get the app to show me any inventory anywhere in the entire United States. Yet I see reports online. You know, I read an article just this morning. Hey, I was at the Apple store at 7:30 last night and they had two Apple Pencils and I bought one. So they're obviously showing up, but I mean, it's like a lottery. It's like winning the lottery to actually be able to buy one.
So if I see one, so if I go down to the store today and they happen to have one,
you should buy it immediately because you could probably sell it for about $500 on eBay. I don't know,
not $500.
You'd be able to sell it for a lot more than you paid for it.
I'd be able to make a.
You'd probably get double your money.
One of you guys happy? That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most people just want them, but I mean, I haven't seen them. Have we seen them show up on eBay yet? I should check. I haven't even checked. I should check eBay. Maybe I can get one there.
Yeah, look right now. I'll see what's there.
Yeah, let's all pause the show so we can check
no,
eBay.
No, but I mean, it's like, yeah, I don't understand. I really don't understand what Apple's thinking was on this. Like, is this, they just want to create a buzz, which is happening, obviously. I mean, was it deliberate? Did they have a supply chain problem? Did they just grossly underestimate this? And why wouldn't you launch the two accessories that really make the iPad Pro a pro, quote unquote, iPad? You know, I get it's bigger size, but what really makes it quote unquote pro in my mind are those accessories. So why would you launch the product without the accessories? It makes absolutely no sense to me. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
You got to have that buzz. Sense.
All right. So I'm looking at eBay right now for entries where it appears that they actually have one to sell. They're going for about $200.
That makes sense.
And then there are...
No, I'm seeing a lot of 350s.
Okay, here's someone that actually does have one. They have the photograph of it sitting on their table.
Yeah.
$340.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of...
Or buy it now, $450.
Yeah, $350 is what I'm seeing them being sold for.
$500 wasn't too far off, Michael.
Nuts. Maybe I should get one.
Just to get it a week early. Because I do have one on order. I mean... In all fairness,
yeah,
I
when's
was
your
able
shipping?
To order one day one, and I ordered right after midnight, so I was lucky, one of the lucky ones, and got the 1 to 2 week delivery time frame. So my delivery day or my shipping date, I got to be clear about this. My it will ship by is November 20th through the 30th.
Hmm.
That's my shipping window right now.
Cool. All right, so I went down to the Apple store yesterday. And
this is the part where you tell us you have a pencil and I drive up to San Luis Obispo and punch you in the face.
Well, only if you want one, you don't want to punch me in the face because I'll just keep it. because I live across the street from the police. no, so I went down there and I, because I am not getting one, and but I wanted to check it out. So I went down, played with the Apple Pencil. And I mean, that's, again, that was the one thing after I played with the pencil, I'm thinking, what else is there about this that I want to check out? And of course they have the keyboard case, which is like a crazy origami mess. But it's
cool.
I liked it too. I'm sure there's a very clear way to fold it up and do all that stuff once
it took me, I don't know, like from looking at it and typing on it to having the whole thing folded up, it took me, I don't know, less than a minute figure it out the first time.
Yeah, it's not super difficult. It's just one of those things like, how do you do this? Oh, okay. Yeah, I see. But yeah, so it really is about the keyboard and the pencil. I did try out the pencil quite a bit, and man, I mean, Jeff, I'm sure you can say more than I can, but I have not used a stylus that works as well as this thing ever.
I was blown away way it feels, the way it feels when you're drawing or writing, the way it balances. I mean, everything about it, it was like Apple nailed it.
Yeah.
And I turned to the Apple retail person standing next to me, and I said, Adonit needs to buy as many of these as they can and start reverse engineering them right now.
Well, I think the biggest thing, at least for me, was the palm rejection. Aside from the fact that it kept up so well, the palm rejection was just the most incredible thing to me.
I got to share a story with you on that. So I was at the Apple Store for quite a bit and played around with the pencil quite a bit, and I thought it was awesome. I, you know, mirror everything you guys are saying. I left the store and I got home and I realized I never once tried the palm rejection I am so trained that it's so crappy with so many other styluses that I didn't even think I've gotten in the habit of always drawing on an iPad without touching the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I was kind of bummed.
Well,
that was one of the first things I tried because I wanted to see what it's like. And what I do when I draw with my iPad, I've actually made a little palm rejection disc.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about this. Your cool little disc.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. And so I just set that down on my iPad screen, put my hand on it, and now I can draw, and it's awesome.
Is it like one of those little mini CDs, like half diameter CDs?
No, I totally made it from scratch. It's a piece of felt and it's neoprene, and I cut it all into a disc so that it's not too big, and I put my hand on it and it just slides around perfectly on the screen and doesn't conduct.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think even there's still an advantage of your methodology, Jeff, because you know there is a certain stick factor with your hand on the screen. So to have something between the screen and your hand that will slide easily around can kind of, I would imagine, create a nice drawing experience.
It does. Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny. It's like, oh, I didn't put my hand on the screen because I've been trained.
And you didn't want to be the guy who goes back to check it out again.
No, I've been back since and tried it out. I mean, yeah. I've been back daily looking for the stupid pencil.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I mean, so for me, I didn't want one. I didn't want an iPad going into it. But as soon as I started playing with it, I'm like, I could actually realistically use this thing for taking notes now.
Yeah. I'm still a little mixed. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet.
The pencil or just in general?
The iPad Pro in general. I obviously need to spend a lot more time with it before I can form any solid opinion. My initial reaction was, oh my God, this thing is huge.
It is
huge.
And
then it was like, oh, this thing is awesome. I like this and that. And then as I've been using it now for getting on, you know, 72 hours, there are some other things where it's like, you know, it's starting to feel, I'm getting tinges of my iPhone, you know, 6 Plus experience. Like, is this really, is this gone too far? Is it too huge? Is this the iPad that I want to carry around, you know, every time I leave the house, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, where are you going to put it? Are you going to get a Merce?
I think I need to have like a cool like Mark Hamill Luke Skywalker backpack and carry it around like Yoda.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That would be really cool with a little Yoda head on top.
And it can be giving you advice as you run around.
I think that's the way to go, right? Or yeah,
that's
at least
exactly the way to go.
Or at least like a, almost like a scabbard, like a back worn, you know, sword scabbard, and like maybe I could lightning build a little handle that goes into the lightning dock, and you could just like reach back and like whip it out, like. Shoo.
Yeah, and it makes a sound effect.
And then, like, lop someone's head off with the edge.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You could hurt someone with one of these.
Well, you know, that for as big as it is very light. It's deceptively light for the size.
Yes. For me, it's the balance. I don't know if you got to pick one up in the store and actually hold it with one hand. But, I mean, I can comfortably hold it sort of in the bottom corner with the corner kind of resting into the meat of your hand and actually use it for, you know, a short period of time. You're not going to want to use it that way for really long, but I mean, you can hold it with one hand or just sort of grab it by the side edge and grip onto it. And it's no problem. I mean, it doesn't get really uncomfortable.
And that really surprised me.
Yeah. And I think that's balance. I mean, it's super balanced no matter how you orient it. And you can do that in landscape or portrait. And it doesn't feel like, you know, like one edge is heavier than the other and it's going to suddenly, you know, just want to tip out. So you can grab it at the corner, you can grab it in the middle, you know, in the bottom, in the middle, on the bottom, you know, on the side, whatever you want. And it sort of feels weighted evenly all the way around.
Yeah, that is definitely one of those details that Apple is known for. Are you either of you getting the keyboard?
I am. Yeah. I have the, and so the one company that has super benefited from Apple totally blowing it and not having their keyboards ready to go on day one is Logitech, because the Create keyboards were there right at launch and people were like, you don't have the Apple keyboard, I'll take the Create one.
And there's a lot in stock in the stores that I went into.
Oh, it's interesting. The one that I went to yesterday, they were sold out of the Create keyboards already.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if the stores that I've checked do sell out soon, because people were just picking them up and they were going out the door one after another, but there were quite a few.
Yeah. And when I went down, I even had to have them, they had to check in the back again. They didn't have them out. They didn't have them in the computers. It's like somebody had to go back and be like, oh yeah, they're back there.
So weird.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Create. So that's just a case that I'm seeing. So they have an $80 case and then how much is the keyboard?
It's $150.
Okay, so that's right in line with the.
Yeah, but the difference is that the Create keyboard has like the chiclet keys.
Ah.
It's like your traditional Logitech, you know, style keyboard.
Right.
And it basically turns the iPad Pro into a MacBook Air, you know, with a touchscreen. Because the weight ends up being the same. Because that's the one thing about this case that I really don't like. It's just too bulky. It weighs almost a pound, so it's going to add a pound to the whole package, which brings it to about, I think, like 3.3 pounds. And I want to say a 13-inch Air is right around just under 3 pounds. And like a 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro, those are Retina now, right? The 13-inch MacBook Pro is like 3.4 or something like that. So, that's my only complaint, but I mean, it's a backlit keyboard. It has the extra function row that the Apple keyboard doesn't have to like control things like the home button and the brightness and the media controls. And it's great to type on. I mean, it's really nice. If you're really wanting like a touchscreen Apple product, you know, notebook, this is going to be your closest way to get to that, I think. But you're going to have a notebook in terms of, you know, size and weight and stuff like that. So there's a trade-off.
Yeah, I'm holding out. I'm waiting for the Apple keyboard after checking out the Logitech. I mean, it was perfectly fine. It's just not what I want.
Yeah, and I don't think it's what I want either. But I wanted to test it out, and I just grabbed one because they had them, and I figured that could get me through the next 2 weeks, and then I could do a really good comparison. but I'll probably try and, you know, once I'm done with that experiment, I'll probably just try and sell it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it's just too bulky. It's too bulky for what I want. I don't do that much typing. And the one thing is the Apple Smart keyboard cover. I was really surprised at how good typing on that actually felt.
So was I. And for me, that's an even bigger surprise because I'm not fond of Apple's other keyboards.
Yeah. Like the ones built into the Macs, you mean?
Well, the ones built into the Macs are they're okay. But they're external keyboards. I'm really not a fan.
Mm.
Yeah. The one thing on the Smart keyboard that really shocked me was it has more travel than I was expecting. And there's actually a physical mechanism feel to it. It has like an actual click to the keys. So there was a little kind of clacky kind of feel to it. And I don't know if that's just the switches or if they've done some virtual magic. I think it's actually physical switches because I don't think there's any, you know, electronics in there. So I don't think it's like a haptic feedback thing.
Mm.
But I put it somewhere between the Apple wireless keyboard. So, you know, in terms of travel and just like clickety keyboard feel, it's between that and if you've typed on the MacBook keyboard. I think the MacBook keyboard totally sucks. I didn't like it at all. It has like no travel. There's like no feel to it. It's barely, in my opinion, better than typing on the iPad screen.
Yeah.
And so the Smart keyboard cover is somewhere between those two experiences in my mind, which is pretty darn good for something that is as thin and as light as what Apple put together in that cover.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely better than the fabric cover on the original. I haven't tried. I don't know if Microsoft's redesigned the fabric covers that they had for the Surface. But when that first came out, I did try that at the store. And that was just like, I mean, those were totally flat. It's like printed on keys. It didn't even have any kind of bump to it. So it was, you know, that was just like, in my mind, typing on a soft screen, you know, like a fabric screen or something like that.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, it has a really nice, good feel to it, I think. And, you know, I'm not convinced, though, that I'll even need a keyboard either with the, you know, the keyboard layout that is actually on the iPad Pro screen itself. I mean, you get a full in landscape mode for sure. You've got a full keyboard. I mean, full size keys. My only complaint with that one is I don't know why they went with half height keys for the number keys.
That was kind of weird.
Well, and it's even weirder because the delete key is at the end of that row. And so you have a half height delete key, which is kind of hard to hit. So that's one thing I didn't like about the on-screen keyboard. Also, I'm having a huge learning curve with the on-screen keyboard because the exclamation point, the at symbol, all of those are above, you know, in their traditional positions, like a regular keyboard, above the number keys. So you have to, you know, shift one to do an exclamation point. And I'm so trained with an iOS device to hit that, you know, the special character key and drill down or hit shift. I think it's under shift question mark or something like that, right?
Can't you flick up on those?
No, you can't. It's again, on the Pro, they've laid it out. It is a real, like, full keyboard. So you have to type on it like you would type on your MacBook.
Oh, so it doesn't have that little shortcut where if you flick up on a key, it does the secondary?
I'll double check. I don't think it does.
Oh. No. Yes, it does. Oh, it I does just do double that? Checked.
Oh, okay, it does. Okay. That's just for single quote and double quote, though, right?
No, you can tap on any letter that has multiple characters, and just like on the iOS keyboard on other devices, you get the pop up that gives you.
No, I mean if you flick up on the key.
Oh no! The tap and hold. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
You can flip up. You know, flick up on the question mark, and that I think gives you on a standard iPad keyboard, like the single like apostrophe or quote, or I don't know what you want to call it. Right?
Yeah, if you flick up on the question mark, it gives you the upside down question mark. If you flick up on the quotes, well, a minute ago it was.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, right. I have an upside down question mark on my iPad Pro right now.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
The but-
So the point is I'm used to the exclamation point being where the question mark is, right? On a traditional, I'm bringing it up now, and now it's under the one. So it's just taking some getting used to that. Oh, I,
yeah,
I have
that
to
is
remember
weird.
On the iPad Pro, I need to type like I would type on my Mac. That's it's just a muscle memory change. And there's a lot of little muscle memory change things that are going on. I mean, there's a cap locks key, for God's sake, on the iPad Pro keyboard.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
Well, considering they're trying to mimic a real keyboard,
right?
The,
yeah,
the keys are actual size. It makes sense they would put the caps lock on, but it is weird to see because we haven't had that before. We've always had a mystery symbol to type.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, the exclamation point, just so people don't email me, is on the regular, like the iPad Air, is just to the left of the question mark. So it's, you know, shift, comma.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm used to typing it. Now I got to remember, I got to do shift one.
That's fun. Yeah. Well, how many days you got? 14 days to figure out if you like it?
Yeah, I mean,
you're gonna keep it? Are you sure you're gonna keep it?
I'm gonna use it for a month. I'm gonna stick to my original thing. I'm using the iPad Pro as my only thing that I leave the house with for mobile computing for a month.
Okay.
And I'm gonna try and do everything that I would do on my MacBook Pro when I'm out and about on the iPad Pro. I'm really gonna force myself to try it. So, and if it doesn't work out after that and I decide, you know, I really just like my iPad Air and I'll take the MacBook Pro with me combination that I've been doing up until this point, then I'll just, you know, I'll sell the iPad Pro. I don't think I'll have any problem selling it, you know, for maybe $100 loss or so. That's fine. That's it's worth $100 to do that 30-day experiment.
Fair enough.
Sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be keeping mine.
Yeah, I can see you keeping it because you do a lot of drawing and things like that.
Yeah, and I've done a little bit of drawing, and then after using it as a secondary display with my laptop, and then using it as a visual graphics tablet.
Yeah, I want to play around with that. I saw your video, Jeff, this morning. That was awesome.
How does that go? What is that?
Okay, so I used AstroPad so that I could use my iPad Pro as a visual graphics display, meaning like a Cintiq from Wacom. Mm. And so I was actually looking at part of my Photoshop window on my iPad Pro. So I'm drawing directly on the iPad Pro so I can look at what I'm drawing, as opposed to what you do with a regular graphics tab.
Oh, I gotcha.
Where you draw on the tablet, but you're looking at your screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I set up the angle for the video I did yesterday so that you could see me drawing on the tablet, but also seeing it appearing on the screen on my computer at the same time.
Yeah. So if you go to the Mac Observer, there's a video Jeff using AstroPad. And AstroPad is really cool because it turns any iPad, and you can do this with the iPad Air as well. It turns your iPad into basically a Wacom Cintiq tablet. So you can draw on your tablet. You can see what you're drawing on the tablet in an app like Photoshop, but then you have a Photoshop up on your Mac, and it's actually mimicking or mirroring what you're drawing on the iPad right onto your Mac screen in whatever app you happen to be using. Is it limited to certain apps, Jeff?
No.
Yeah.
No. You can use it with anything.
Anything where you can draw, basically.
Yeah, and what it does is it lets you select a portion of your screen to show on your iPad. So if you really wanted to, I mean, you could put, you know, like part of a text window on the screen.
Yeah. So what is this app called?
AstroPad. It's like
AstroPad.
$20.
I think probably picked it at some point.
I probably did.
Yeah, I'll throw that.
Yeah, and then you can use it with any of the, you know, iPad supported styluses. So if you want to use the Adonit, or you want to use the Wacom stylus, or you want to use the pencil, the 53 pencil.
That's cool.
And I tried all three, and they worked just fine. The one that I actually had a little bit of trouble with, which surprised me, and I need to figure out if it's me or AstroPad, because I really don't know, was the Adobe Ink, which is the same thing as the Adonit.
Oh, that's not good.
Pro. Mm. And it would draw some of my lines, but not all of them. And what I'm thinking is it may have been a palm rejection issue. Mm. So I need to go back and do some more experimenting and see what's up. Now, keep in mind, I've only had a few minutes to experiment with a bunch of the styluses. So the fact that I had an issue with the ink in and of itself should not be a major concern. It just means that I need to do some more testing to see if there actually is a problem or if it was me.
So are you doing the secondary display? Is that over the wire or is that over Wi-Fi?
Well, for AstroPad, I'm doing it over Wi-Fi, but you could do it through a USB connection. It supports both. When I did the dual display thing with Duet, mm-hmm. That requires a wired connection.
So you get really low latency.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Duet
how good it works.
Yeah, Duet is awesome too. And again, Duet is an app you can use with your iPad, your iPhone, or a new iPad Pro, and basically gives you another screen that you can throw stuff onto. Now, yes. It doesn't have, my experience, and Jeff, tell me if yours is different, it doesn't have quite the refresh rate that your native displays are going to have, but it's good for things like palettes or things that, you know, aren't going to have a lot of movement. You can do video on it, but I noticed when I was doing higher frame rate stuff that you notice that it's not running at, I don't think, full frame rate.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so
or refresh rate.
So have you guys, are you disappointed with the lack of 3D touch on the Pro?
It's a little confusing. Bit. Yeah.
Because you both have the S, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I keep pressing firmly on my iPad Pro and then getting confused when it doesn't do anything.
It is strange.
Yeah. Oh, one other comment on the using a keyboard with the iPad Pro, and I forgot to mention this in my own review, so I want to bring it up here because Leander Caney also put in his review the same thing because he has the Logitech keyboard, and mm-hmm. I think some of this might be because it feels so much like the MacBook Pro keyboard. I keep forgetting that it's not my MacBook Pro, and I keep reaching down with my thumb to kind of hit the trackpad, but there's no trackpad there.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like, oh yeah, I got to reach up. I got to touch the screen, not the trackpad. But, mm-hmm. you know, it feels so much like it is because of the screen size and because of how the keyboard is. It feels so much like a notebook that you want to use it like a notebook. So that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and the one thing that I really enjoyed about the stylus was the fact that it's weighted to stay on the table.
Yeah.
It's cool, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I mean, they really thought about all the little details with that stylus.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, once you realize that does it, you're like, why do any of my writing utensils, why do they just roll off a table? That's just
my paper by 53 one doesn't roll off.
Oh, that's neither nice. Does mine.
Because it's a drafting pencil style. Or a square.
Wah-wah. Yeah.
So the little Apple Touch on that weighted thing is, do you know that when it rolls so that the word pencil you know, engraved at the top is face up?
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
See? All the little details.
Yep.
So it's cool. Weighted on the right side.
The one thing I was disappointed it didn't look like it tells you what the charge status of the pencil is when you plug it into the iPad.
Do you really need to know?
Because you only need to plug it in for a couple seconds.
I know, but it's one of those things that you could have easily just put up in the status bar like you could with the old Apple Bluetooth headset.
You know, what they could do is just have a static graphic. You plug in your pencil and it just comes up on screen and says, it's charged.
It's charged, dummy.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how fast that thing charges up.
Yeah. Are you guys, so speaking of which, are you guys interested in the fact that the iPad Pro supports USB 3?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with that.
The main reason being USB 3 would mean the potential to support multiple USB inputs.
Which would be cool.
Oh, it does?
Well, you have the capability because you have the bandwidth. So for recording wise, if you could do multiple mics or something like that, that could be good. I don't know if you can separate the channels though. But even like Victor Cahia was pointing out, if he could have the ability to plug in, you know, his MIDI keyboard and a mic to do like field recording stuff, that could be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you could have a little lightning to USB hub product where you could plug in a couple USB devices, that could be cool.
Yeah. So is it a matter of, so right now you can't, over the lightning cable, people aren't seeing 3.0 speeds, but I don't know why that is. I don't know.
There's a 3.0 controller in there though, right?
In the iPad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you would need a different cable, a different lightning adapter.
I think you'll need a different cable.
That's a bummer. Although, for the most part, I don't think anybody cares. Most people who get this thing aren't even going to think, oh, I need USB 3.
Well, and we don't even know what's capable through the keyboard connector either, though. Does anybody know what the speed of that is? So maybe that controller is there for that connector, and you'll be able to do other kinds of accessories that aren't just keyboards through that port.
I suppose, but I don't know that it has the correct number of contacts.
Well, if they're doing some total custom thing with it, they could get away with coming up with a weird number of contacts.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Well, you have, I would assume there's three, so I'd assume one is power. One is, do you have to have one for ground? I was thinking one for data one way and one for data the other way.
I think you'd need two for power flow.
Well, how many little connector points are there? Is it three or four?
Three.
There's only three.
Oh, you know, I have one in my hand. I could look. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, another just quick thing, since we're talking about ports and connectors. No, and I've seen nobody commenting on this, and maybe it doesn't matter, and maybe it's a non-issue. No sleep-wake silent switch.
Oh, no switch?
There's no switch.
That has switch. Burned me several times.
Wait, there's no way to... There's you have a sleep
You have to flick up
button.
On the screen.
Yep.
Yeah,
there's the virtual button in the
to lock the rotation,
but there's no physical switch.
Yeah, God, you know, I was really hoping that I would get over missing that with my Air 2. I do not.
I didn't even think about that because I have an Air. I haven't missed that, but now that I have this one, that was one of the first things I was like, wait a minute, oh. There's no switch. There's
yeah,
no
every
switch.
Other day I go to, I need to lock that damn rotation because I'm looking at a textbook and I have it on a slight incline because it's on it every time I rest it on a binder because I just have to lay my stuff out that way. And yeah, so I set it down, it flips so I can't read it. I have to pick it up and flick up a couple different times because the thing doesn't come up reliably and then I hit it and then it goes away and then I can set it down like a, you know, I feel like a jackass. I could have just flicked the dang switch if I had the switch, but no, they can't have a switch on there.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a bummer. I mean, it's a minor annoyance, but it was something that I did notice day one when I had it. It's like, oh, that sucks. That's kind of inconvenient.
I should try like welding a switch to the side of my iPad.
Doesn't have to do anything. Just put it on there.
It would make me feel like one of those giant, you know, big handle things that turn on power in like Frankenstein's lab.
Yes, where the sparks fly off when
you glue that on the back.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really convenient to set down.
You could use it as a stand. I mean, that might be a cool.
I think I'd get some looks. not good looks either. Okay. Anything else about the iPad Pro?
I'm amazed at how much I'm loving the screen. Yes, I know it's a Retina screen, just like my iPad Air and my MacBook Pro. But for some reason, I look at that screen and it's like, this is just delicious.
Mm-hmm. Great for watching movies.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I know one other thing I want to comment on, and I haven't done this use case yet, but I could see it being a pretty valid use case. As a mobile gaming console with a couple of like made for iPad game controllers.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, so like families who travel and, you know, they want a little gaming platform for the kids to use in the hotel room, you could easily prop this up, you know, in a little stand, get a couple gaming controllers, and the screen is big enough that you could do, you know, some head-to-head.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Have it be a little portable gaming console.
That is definitely true. I actually went down and I purchased two of the SteelSeries Nimbus controllers, thinking, you know, I felt like I had a lot of two-player games on my iPad or on my Apple TV, but it turns out I don't.
You know.
No, so I returned one of them a day later. I went down there when I went to look at the iPads. So they're like, "Hey, when did you buy it?" And I said, "I think yesterday." And I was right back to return the thing. But I mean, I love the controller's great. That is an impressive little $50 accessory.
Yes. Yeah, I like mine a lot.
It's well weighted.
Yeah, but if you're
going to
do multiplayer games, most of the games involve the other players having an iPhone or an iPad to play on.
I haven't noticed that.
One person using the TV.
Yeah.
So we do Asphalt 8.
Oh.
Which is awesome like that.
And you can't do two-player Nimbus controllers?
No. You have to one player on the Apple TV and then everybody else is on an iPad or an iPhone.
That's annoying. That sounds like something that's going to mature over time, and I may end up getting another controller.
I have found, other than, I think, Crossy Road, no other two-player, like, both people on the Apple TV games.
Geometry Wars.
Okay, cool. I haven't tried that one yet.
Crossy Road is a one person on the TV, one person on the phone multiplayer game.
Well, the phone as a controller, but both players are playing on the Apple TV screen. Both players are looking at the Apple TV screen.
I see. Yeah, I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but
yeah. Yep, it'll come.
Okay, well, we have more to talk about, but before we get to that, let's talk about Automatic Labs. Automatic car adapter. The Automatic is a tiny piece of hardware that brings your car into the 21st century of connectivity. It's like a bridge connecting your car's computer to your iPhone. So it automatically connects over Bluetooth. It includes GPS to help with trip tracking, and it will even help you find your car if you lose it in one of those giant parking lots. It works with almost any car made after 1996, and installation takes just seconds. And after pairing it with your phone, you'll have access to a whole range of valuable information within minutes. I've really been enjoying my Automatic. It's one of those things that's just kind of fun that when you get in your car and you start it up, you get a little do-do-do-do. And, you know, now that you know that your phone is talking to your car, and so you know that if there's any issue, it'll show up there. It scolds me if I brake too hard or if I accelerate too hard, which is nice. Of course, you can keep track of your driving habits and fuel expenses. It tracks your fuel economy, how much a trip costs, because it magically knows how much fuel costs in your area. That's very nice. And like I said, it alerts you to hard braking and acceleration. And it'll even do that if you don't have your phone with you for whatever reason. It just, you know, because it's connected to your OBD2 port. And I guess there's an accelerometer in there.
The latest version has GPS.
Yeah, it has GPS, but I would guess that the hard braking or acceleration, that's probably something that it does with an accelerometer. Yeah, it would have to. There has to be an accelerometer in there because it'll notify you of it does the accident reporting.
Yeah, I think it gets all that data from the car itself through the.
Well, my car does not have that many sensors, I think it probably does it by itself.
We probably shouldn't speculate.
Well, okay. So
why not?
One of the things that it can do, so you can opt in to have the Automatic notify emergency services if you're in a crash.
Yep.
And my car does not have little crash sensor thingies other than the fact that the airbags go off.
Right.
So I'm, unless that's something that the OBD throws out there, I think that there's probably accelerometers in there as well to let you do that. That would make sense.
It's a cool thing, no matter what.
It is really nice. Yeah. For $100, you know,
I wanted to chime in on this only because I have one and I commented originally that I wasn't a huge fan, but I've had them in my cars for a while now. And two key things that I use it for that I think are great. One, they finally added the ability to flag trips as business. So I wanted to be able to use it to track my business miles because I'm very terrible at that. So what happens now is every time I drive a route, right at the end, it pops up a little notification saying, hey, this is, you know, where you drove. And if I swipe on that on the notification screen, I can tag that as business. So I just hit one button.
Nice.
This was for business. And then that data is stored up in the cloud and I can pull a report at the end of the year and just say, okay, how many business miles did I drive? And it will have all that data. And if I ever get audited or anything like that, it's like, so you can look and see, here's the exact places I went and this is why I went there and why I went there. And it'd be very easy for me. So that feature alone is worth the price of admission for me. And then secondarily though, and this just came up this week, my check engine light came on. And so one thing you can do is oftentimes those will come on falsely. So you get to review, you know, why did it come on? What was the error code? In most cases, it can look up and find the error code for you. If not, it gives you a link to, you know, search the web for that error code.
Yeah.
And you can also then, if it's nothing, you can clear it, reset it. So it'll potentially save you a trip to the mechanic. But, you know, and it warns you if it comes on again, you probably want to, you know, go see your mechanic. You know, don't just keep resetting it. But this last time it came on for me and it turned out to just be like an emissions thing, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, I don't have to rush to the mechanic. I can call my mechanic, make an appointment. I'll have him look into this, but it's not critical and I can still drive, you know, so I can still go where I need to go. And just having that information is really helpful because how many times have you been there? The check engine light comes on and you're like, oh, is it serious? Is it not serious? Do I need to, you know, how worried do I need to be about this? And
totally.
It gives you no information. So a tool like Automatic is great for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can even like just plug it into another car sporadically if you need to.
You can have multiple profiles.
You can also do multiple profiles, but I'm saying like if your buddy comes by and he's like, hey, I have a check engine light, what's the deal? You can just plug it in and check it out.
But I'm just saying we have two cars, and so I'll move mine between mine and my wife's, and the software will keep track of multiple profiles. So
yep, I have that going too. So you get the check engine light stuff. You can also, even cooler, you can automate your home. It talks to Nest, if this, then that, and you can even connect to other third party apps for things like expense filing, and get other car data stuff. Like you can use dash command, which gives you all kinds of, fun gauges to look at, and you can use that with Automatic as well. So yeah, it's really cool. It's got all kinds of stuff. So the normal price is $99.95, but if you use the code the iOS show, all one word, at checkout, you get $20 off. So it's only $79.95. There are no subscription fees. It's free shipping. And they have a 45-day return policy. So if it doesn't live up to your expectations, you can just send it back. No problem. So, and it also works with Android as well as iOS. So check them out, automatic.com, and use the code the iOS show.
Can I say one last cool thing?
Yeah.
So the packaging, it's a travel cup. So once you take the Automatic out of the packaging, you don't have to throw the packaging away. It is a travel mug with a lid.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, it's really cool.
So basically what you guys are saying is I need to get one of these for my Volvo.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Cool.
Yeah, especially if you have a slightly higher mileage car.
Yeah. I have a 15-year-old Volvo with 250,000 miles.
Oh, yeah, you still have that Volvo. Yeah. Get the Automatic, dude.
Well, so here's, not to extend this ad, but it's worth noting. So I had been noticing before this check engine light came on that it seemed like my fuel economy, and I could track this because of the Automatic, was going down.
Oh,
that's really odd.
Oh, yeah, and that's
the light
one of those
came
things.
On, and it said, hey, this emissions thing can cause your fuel economy to go down.
Yep.
So it all comes together. So, you know, I've got an appointment with my mechanic. I'm taking it in next week to get that fixed. But, you know, having that data, again, was a valuable tool. It's like, okay, I know what's going on with my car now. It's, you know, it's this little, like, pre-engine thing. And it usually happens just when the engine's cold. Once it's warm, it's kind of fine. But, you know, for that first bit of driving, I'm losing a little bit of fuel economy. So,
yeah, well, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, with my Jetta, it's a 2000. So it doesn't have a digital readout that tells me what my fuel economy is.
Right.
So, I mean, ever since I got it, I've been tracking how much gas I put in and how many miles I go with another app that mm-hmm. tells me what my average fuel economy is. And the automatic actually brings more features to your car. So it tells me right on the home screen in the app that I'm getting 24 miles per gallon still.
Right.
And that's just like, hey, it's extending the features that I have in my car. So it's one of those things like, I think maybe maybe my mileage has changed, maybe it hasn't. And then I can actually look and figure it out and say, yes, I haven't been having any issues. It's working properly. So yep. Yeah, good times. Okay. So Apple released their first update, first public update for tvOS, tvOS 9.0.1. I guess it's been bug fixes, right?
Because mine seems less crashy.
Less crashy?
Mine was never crashy, and I'm not sure if what I'm seeing is because of the update or if it's just like back-end webby sort of stuff that Apple's been doing. But the whole thing with picking out which episode of a show in a subscription that you have is much better now. It's still not perfect, but it's so much better than it was.
So I don't know. There's much to talk on this story, but
yeah, they haven't really done anything as far as the keyboard goes. They still haven't put out an update for the remote app. I'm thinking that whatever they're doing with the remote app is going to be more than just a compatibility update.
I'm worried that they're not going to do.
I don't think there's
to the
going
remote.
To. Yeah, what Adam said,
dude. I when I went to the Apple Store yesterday and I was returning that one controller. She asks me, oh, you know, how do you like your Apple TV so far? And I said, well, I really like it now, but if you asked me an hour after I got it, I wanted to throw it out the window. And I explained to her, you know, very clearly why I wanted to throw it out the window. So I'm hoping that Apple is getting enough feedback.
Can we back up a little bit? Because I want to talk about that question that she asked you. Is it bugging either of you that that's the new, like, retail thing? Like that they've been told that they have to like chat you up about like, oh, you have the iPad Pro. What do you think about that? How are you liking it? You know, this is a thing, right? That they've been told.
I just assumed it was a California thing because it kind of feels like I'm always being chatted up ever since I moved.
No. So every time you go into the Apple Store, if you interact with one of the employees, anytime if you're waiting around, if there's any kind of wait or if there's any kind of thing,
yeah,
they have to like
totally
ask you about like, or they see you have an Apple Watch on. Oh, I see you have an Apple Watch. What do you think about it? Are you really liking it? And then they even have like cues where like if you don't bring up something like, oh, have you tried out this feature or that feature? Yeah, it's like
that's
real
funny.
Scripted. Fakey. It's like, you know, and they do it on phone support now too.
For people like us, it's kind of annoying, but I have a feeling for the average shopper, it's actually really cool because it if nothing else, they're learning more about the features that whatever their product.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of it. I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems like the people at my store that have been doing that to me, they're pretty good at it. It didn't feel forced.
It's just like, yeah, and I think part of what they're trying to do too is they're trying to figure out how you use the products in so that they can guide you to other products or other experiences that would help that or give you advice about things. So, I mean, I guess in a lot of ways it's cool, but sometimes I'm just like, okay. Yeah, I know you're not really interested in me all that much.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, like, I was waiting for a personal pickup on I guess it was the Apple TV. And I was, it at that point, it did feel a little bit like, can I just get my Apple TV? I just want to go.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing, because some of my listeners have brought this up too. Like, I had one guy who emailed me. He's like, I pre-ordered my iPad Pro. I had very limited time. I just wanted to go in the store and pick it up. And yeah, they sort of made him wait in line. And they made me do that as well. It's like they had one guy over off to the side, and he was like the iPad Pro pickup guy. And it was like, well, he's with so-and-so right now. You get in queue. And he was like, I just asked the person, I'm like, can you just have them bring it out? I need to buy it, and I need to go. I have to be somewhere. And they were like, well, he's doing the thing. And then he got over there and he like started doing the demo thing, like showing him stuff. He's like, I don't want to see this stuff. I just need to get my device and go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was a little not happy about
that. I would say that Aaron's is not making a lot of people happy.
I have a feeling she's making us in the echo chamber unhappy.
Yes.
Because we already know our stuff. But for the rest of the shoppers out there, I think these little things that are annoying us are probably really good, because it's making people feel like they're having a very personal experience when they buy their new Apple product. It makes them feel like the Apple employee really cares about what they're getting, and they feel good because they leave their iPad set up, they've learned some new stuff. But for people like us, where all we need is to have someone check our ID so that they can hand us the iPad we just bought and we can walk out the store.
And to be fair, they weren't really pushy with me, other than they did make me wait to get to the one guy who was kind of doing the setups. But once he was there, he's like, you want me to, walk you through setting this up? I just said no. And he's like, okay. And he just kind of moved on. Like, he didn't push at it, but you could tell he was supposed to try and, at least suggest, hey, let's get you set up and I'll walk you through some things and I'll show you how to use this sort of stuff. And I think you're right, Jeff. I think for some customers that maybe want that, like I know that my in-laws, when they bought their iPhone, they had that experience, and my mother-in-law still raves to this day about how she was treated at the Apple store and how they were willing to show them all this stuff because they don't know the technology, like we do. And so she was very happy to have that sort of extra hand holding.
Yeah, it is nice. I have to admit, it is nice that they seem very open and willing to having a little conversation with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're more than just a credit card number.
Yeah, yeah. So, good things, I guess, ultimately. Let's see. Oh, Apple TV will be gaining Siri support. It has it now in 9.1, the 9.1 beta that's out there for developers. It's not a public beta, but it has limited Apple Music support at this point. So they've said that it's coming in 2016. So I'm wondering if that means we're waiting for 9.1 until next year.
I don't think so.
It seems like a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. My guess is what they're doing here is applying the Scotty principle, where you under promise and over deliver.
Yeah, that's always nice.
No. No. Because that's the argument they're using for like things like the Apple Pencil and the keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, we're going to tell you it's not going to get there to the 20th, and you're going to be happy when it shows up on. So it doesn't work in all cases. Sometimes it's nice.
Adam, you just need to lay down and let Apple do its thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so they've put out two betas of tvOS 9.1 at this point. The second one came this Tuesday. Yeah. So,
just for the record, though, I do agree with Jeff on this one. This was a case of, they are definitely, I think they're going to deliver it early and people are going to be happy. But
yeah,
promising it in 2016 gave them the leeway. And maybe they should do that more,
Yeah, maybe they should. Maybe. So as far as the beta goes, you can load it on your Apple TV, but to get on the beta track, you have to actually plug it in with a USB-C cable to your computer. and sideload it that way. But once you've done that, the beta updates come over the air.
How would you know this?
How would I know it? Because I read the story. I actually haven't put it on my the thing that's keeping me from putting it on my Apple TV is not that I don't have a cable or any sort of ethical thing. It's because I know I'll have to reset everything up.
Right.
And you can't even back the damn thing up to your iTunes. And it's going to be one of those things.
They have made the setup process so painful that people don't want to like do anything with it.
Don't touch it. Yeah.
I just got it set up. Like people will never restore the thing ever.
And it's not even like fully set up to what I have my other Apple TVs on either. So
me neither. I have certain apps that I still haven't set up yet because I just dread I don't even open them.
Like, yep, I totally get it.
That password.
Although in some ways it's like it's keeping me from putting superfluous stuff on there.
Oh, this news just in.
Yeah.
One password for Apple TV.
Lol, what?
One password for Apple TV, but it's $149.95.
What?
I'm joking. But that's what they could sell it for, right? Hey, we're announcing Apple One password for Apple TV, $149.95.
It's a USB dongle.
Would pay for it. And everybody would pay.
We would. I mean, we wouldn't even bat an eye. We wouldn't complain.
We're just like, oh, thank God.
Well, if it was sold with
some kind of Touch ID dongle or something where I didn't have to type anything, yeah, I would. Okay, take my money. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Apple has also put out another beta of iOS 9.2. That's the third beta to public testers, and I'm considering getting on that bandwagon again. As far as new stuff in it, I don't think there's anything new in the third beta, but of course it has the AT&T number sync thing, which is very cool. And third-party apps, when they use the in-app browser, they have access to extensions like 1Password.
Cool.
So there's that. And T-Mobile had their latest Un-carrier event. So Un-carrier X with something that's very exciting. It's called Binge On, and they're allowing you to stream from Netflix, HBO Now, HBO Go, Hulu, a whole bunch of other services for free. So it doesn't count toward your data.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And they've also doubled the data allotment of all of their plans from 1 gigabyte up. So the 1, 3, and 5 gig capacities or allotments go to 2, 6, and 10. The one thing about the Binge On is you have to have the 3 gigabyte plan, which I guess would translate to the 6 gigabyte plan at this point. For it to actually be an option. You can turn it off, and the reason you would want to turn it off is because the way that they're getting away with this offering is they're optimizing the content, the video content. They're compressing it down to 480p. So it's 480p, which is, they call DVD quality. I think that this is probably going to be a big deal for people who use Sling. So you can use your Sling Slingbox. You can use Watch ESPN, those sorts of things, NBC Sports, Fox Sports. Those. I think that it's going to be a big deal for people who watch a lot of sports and they want to watch their team on the go. So you can keep it on, they compress it down to 480p and it's totally free and you can watch your stuff and you know, go on your merry way.
It's going to look like butt on your iPad Pro.
It's going to look like butt on your iPad Pro. Yeah. That is for sure. but you can turn it off and go full bore and use up your data. So you have
it's
the choice.
Cool. It's cool that they're doing it at all. And it's cool that the way they get around the potential, like massive drain on their network is through some cool technology solutions.
Totally, yeah.
And on a phone, nobody's going to notice.
Exactly. And that's what I think it's going to be about. Yeah, for people who, you know, like my girlfriend, sometimes she does overnight shifts, and she just her job is to sit outside of a room for 4 hours. And so if she can sit there and watch like anything on Netflix, that's going to be great. So I think it'll be great for people.
Cool.
Oh, there's one. So if you have I think tethering will also give you the binge on. I think tethering or binge on works through tethering. And if you have an unlimited data plan, they give you something extra. I think they give you like a free movie rental or something. I forget. But you get some extra benefits if you have the unlimited data plan as well. So there's a little bit more to talk about, but first you have to mention Smile at smilesoftware.com/TIOSS. Text expander improves your communication and helps you type faster through snippets, which expand out to pretty much anything that you want. This can be as short as an email address or as long as an entire paragraph or form. You can, it's complete with fields, which you can fill in with their special fill-in field options. And of course, the snippets that you create expand in every single app on your Mac. Text Expander helps you increase consistency by creating snippets for common email responses, which I use all the time. You can make a snippet for your meeting notes template so that nothing gets left out. You can use a snippet for requesting a reference to improve your hiring process as well. You can even customize stock replies by adding fill-in fields and pop-ups to provide a human touch. And best of all, you can use those snippets on your iPhone and iPad with Text Expander Touch and the Text Expander custom keyboard on your iOS device. Snippets are automatically synced with Dropbox and iCloud, whichever you prefer. And I mean, the Text Expander, I've said it a million times, but it's one of those apps that I install Mac OS X or I get a new Mac, and the next thing I do is I either put Text Expander on it or 1Password. I don't know which one is first, but those are the two, like, I must have those apps on my Mac before I continue with life.
Yep. No doubt.
Yep.
I guess it would be like Text Expander, Dropbox, and 1Password, because you have to have the...
use Dropbox for syncing.
Yeah, it's the trifecta. Totally. Totally. Yeah, because they both sync through that. Yeah, and that does fill in forms, man. Like, some listeners who are eagle-eyed, every once in a while, I would post the show, but for some reason it wouldn't sync with their podcast app, and that's because I forgot to put the URL to the MP3 in the whole thing. And it's one of those things that's like invisible to me. So every once in a while I would post it and it wouldn't work, and someone would email me about it, and I'd have to go and fix it and go through a whole bunch of rigmarole to like refresh the cache and everything. So it was a giant pain in the butt. But then I started using the Text Expander fill-in forms. So I set up a thing where, you know, I have to put the little the URL to the MP3 in there. So I'm always reminded, and it always gets in both spots that it needs to be in. And so I, like I said, it increases your consistency, which is just so awesome. It also does things like it watches what you type. So if you type something often, it will say, hey, you should probably create a snippet of that. And it'll grab that text and get it ready to go for you. And it will also try to help you out if you type something that is a snippet and you didn't use the short thingy for it. It'll say, hey, you have that other that snippet set up for it. If you want to use it, remember, check it out. So it's great. It's got all the features you want in one of these apps. So check out smilesoftware.com to download a free demo of Text Expander and improve your communication today. If you already own an older version of Text Expander, upgrades are only $19.95 for existing users and free to those who purchased on or after January 1st, 2015. So save time and effort with Text Expander from Smile. smilesoftware.com/TIOSS. Apple Music is on Android.
That's smart.
It's smart, yeah.
And the Fandroids have been one starring it ever since it released.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you expect?
So annoying.
Well, I mean, it is kind of a frustrating piece.
Of software?
Yeah, it's a piece of crap sometimes.
Is it bad? Is it really bad?
Well, I don't know about the... I can't speak to the Android version, but Apple Music in general frustrates me.
No, it doesn't frustrate. I like it. I use it all the time. I use it every day.
Yeah.
I use it every day too, but it's...
First subscription service for music I've ever paid for.
Hmm. Well, maybe it's getting better, but I have a lot of complaints, especially the one where Siri refuses to acknowledge that I have any music on my device ever.
That part is annoying.
Like, you know, I'm like, hey, Siri, play such and such song by Moby. And she starts playing some, like, I don't know, some weird country music. Every time, for some reason, she thinks I really like country music, and I don't. It's the one genre I don't like, and she just constantly plays it, because everything that I want her to play that's in my music library for some reason sounds like a country song.
But
maybe you like country music more than you realize.
It happens all the time. And I have to, so it's like, I have to tell her this three different times. And finally I'm like, from my music. And she goes, oh, okay.
Oh, is that the magic phrase to add?
Yes. From my library or something like that.
Okay. That's awesome. That fixes all kinds of problems for me right there.
It's not a fix. It's just a stupid workaround. I hate it.
Wow.
One man's fix is another's workaround.
Yeah. So don't download InstaAgent.
No.
Well, you can't.
Okay.
You can't anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Now, okay. If you go to the App Store, you will find InstaAgent. It's not that one. It's not the malware one. There were two apps with that name, and the bad one is gone. The one that I don't even know what the legit InstaAgent is for. I've never checked out the app. So there is one there, but it's a safe one.
Yeah. So the idea is InstaAgent was something that would just harve your Instagram passwords and post garbage to your stream.
To your Instagram. Nice.
Yeah, nice.
It's supposed to be an Instagram client, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to tell you who follows you or who looks at your page, one of those narcissistic apps.
Cool.
Yeah, which I mean,
or not.
Honestly, whenever you see one of those, you know, see who follows you or who searches you, that kind of app, almost undoubtedly, they're garbage apps. So,
yeah,
yeah, but it was pulled, and I guess it's interesting that how the heck did it get through the app approval process? Someone was sleeping at the wheel.
Or they figured out a clever way to craft the code so that it didn't look like it was doing something bad.
Yeah, if the request was coming from like one of Apple's private IPs or something.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, this stuff's going to happen every once in a while. And, you know, as much as Apple wants to have a lockdown ecosystem, I mean, people are going to try and crack their ways around it too. So, you know, it's cat and mouse. Luckily, it's, you know... Apple's done a good enough job that this happens very rarely, and I think it will continue to happen rarely, but, you know, it's not, no system is ever going to be fully immune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flux.
This is sad.
It is kind of sad. So,
this is sad.
So the happy half of the story was that on Wednesday, Flux released a version that you could download and compile in Xcode and sideload to any of your devices, which made me very, very happy because I don't really want a jailbreak anymore, but I do like Flux and I like it a lot. So if you don't know, Flux is an app that reduces the, it reduces the blue, tint in your screen. So it makes it more red, and which is easier to look at in the dark. So if your eyes are adjusted to the light or adjusted to low light, then a red tint is less abrasive to your eyes.
And doesn't it adapt throughout the day dependent upon what time of day it is and stuff like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it time of day or is it actually using sensors?
The ambient
time
sensor.
Of day. It's time of day. So it day. Checks your location, and so it knows when the sun sets, and it also asks when you wake up.
Yeah. So it basically adjusts the color gamut of your display so that it is more appropriate for the time of day and what the external lighting conditions may be like.
Yeah. And you can also get this for your Mac, which is not a problem at all, but on iOS it requires the use of some private APIs, so they could never release it publicly in the App Store. But so for about a day, you could download the Xcode project file and compile it and sideload it to any of your iOS devices.
And just to be clear, anybody can get Xcode on the App Store and you don't even have to be part of the developer program.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. So anybody,
and you can be part of the developer program too for, I think it's, you have to pay now, right? It's not free anymore. They don't have a free option, or do they still?
I don't think they have a free option anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But for Xcode, you could just download it and do this little trick where you sideload the app.
Yeah. But
or you could.
You
for
could
a couple
for
days.
A day.
You could for about 17 hours. So I guess Apple contacted them and said, hey, this violates the developer agreement. You can't let people do this.
Yeah. So they looked into it. They thought they were okay, and it was just interpretation of the developer agreement.
Now,
so
was,
and Apple's interpretation always wins.
Of course. Yeah.
And so they pulled it. I mean, they did the right thing and pulled it.
What's the threat, though? If they had ignored Apple,
Apple would probably revoke their developer account, and then they wouldn't be able to continue to make their app for the Mac.
Is that the issue? They wouldn't have been able to do the app signing for the app on the Mac. I just wanted to make sure that's what the
I would assume.
Primary,
I mean, I'm yeah. assuming. I mean,
that's my assumption.
What
too.
Apple would do if you're violating your agreement, you lose your developer account, and if you lose your developer account, you can't make apps.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Now I'm trying to figure out if the issue that they were encouraging the public to do the sideloading, or was it that they were kind of tricking Xcode to accept a pre-compiled binary as part of this package, because they weren't letting their source code out there because they had proprietary stuff to make this happen.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that might've been a bigger part of the motivation here, because there are other apps that you can sideload, but I think those are open source. And
I didn't dig into the specific violation because it didn't really matter. It just meant that, you know, the software.
It just
was
meant
not
we had sadness.
Yeah. So if you grabbed it already, happiness. If you didn't, sadness. And I did grab it. So
that's the irony of this thing, though, too, right? Is that it's out there now, and so if you really needed to find a copy, you probably could.
You probably.
All you
could.
Have to do is ask a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful of your sources, by the way. I'm sure this is a prime thing too, where someone throws a hacked version up on a BitTorrent, and suddenly they have your entire address book.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, because these apps are not approved by Apple, of course, and they can, as evidenced by Flux, you can use private APIs and do naughty things. So be careful. Apple seems to be working on mobile person-to-person payments, according to the Wall Street Journal. They're talking to some banks, trying to get some kind of Square Cash-like or Venmo-like service where you can, I would imagine, where you can donk your phones together and exchange cash or exchange money.
Through the NFC and Apple Pay?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. But I bet they're going to make it easier to use just across the board.
Yeah.
And set it up so you can use Apple Pay to send someone money via email or text message or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then that way you can use it with your Android-toting friends.
Yeah, probably even just directly to someone's bank account, like Square Cash.
Yeah, exactly. Like through Square Cash, where you just need their email address or whatever. Very cool. There's one last... Oh, I guess they've improved the App Store search algorithms finally after years. So they, for a long time, they've waited keywords that developers put in their, there's basically a box that developers can say, here are all the keywords associated with my app. And it seemed like the search algorithm just looked at the title of the app and the keywords and did not look at the app description or anything like that. However, they've it seems like they've improved it recently in the last week or so. So that it's not as heavily weighted on keywords and more heavily weighted on, I guess, what people click on for certain words and for certain terms and descriptions in the app and that sort of thing. And that's one of those things that I kind of ran into with Appler. I had to like hybrid the iTunes search because that's a public thing that you can use. But it was heavily based on the keywords, and so I had to incorporate the description searches too. So it looks like it's been improved, which is good.
That's good.
So Apple copied you.
I wouldn't say that. It's a pretty general idea, but thank you.
Are we almost done?
We are almost done. We're doing picks now.
Okay, good.
Because you have to get to the Apple store.
I'm getting nervous.
Someone's going to get it before you.
The truck shows up at noon, and I don't get my pencil because I missed the truck. I'm going to be bummed.
Oh, and I just realized we're a half hour past the delivery at my store.
Ooh.
Right. We'll see what happens.
All right, Jeff, what's your pick?
My pick, which I think you're right, I have picked it before, is AstroPad because it is absolutely fantastic with the iPad Pro. I feel like instead of just kind of coming up with a really cool way to use my iPad as a graphics tablet, with the iPad Pro, my iPad really is a graphics tablet. And so much so that my Cintiq, which is in a box right now, it may not come back out. So it's $19.99, and there's a free companion app you need to put on your Mac. But geez, $20 to turn your iPad into a Cintiq, which is over $1,000.
Nice.
That's a pretty awesome deal.
Cool. All right, Adam, what's your pick?
I am picking a game called Space Team.
No way. I've never heard of that.
What?
I've never heard of that game.
You haven't?
No, I've heard of that game. I know about that game.
It may have been picked in the past, and I don't remember if one of us picked it. And if it was, it's worth repicking now because there is a Apple TV.
Oh, yeah. Version. How is that? I haven't tried the Apple TV.
You have to shake your television?
You have to shake the remote.
You have to reticulate your TV.
Because the Siri remote has accelerometers and stuff. So, yeah, you do have to, like, when it says, you know, to shake. But let's back up a little bit. So, for people who don't know what Space Team is, it is a cooperative game. The idea is you are a team of people on a spaceship, and each person has a set of controls, just random controls. It'll be knobs and dials and switches and buttons and things like that that show up on their screen, and you play cooperatively over Wi-Fi, so you need to be in the same room. Because what happens is up on the screen comes series of commands. So it'll be like set this switch to on or turn this dial to level 3. There's a bunch of different commands, including also, hey, there's an asteroid coming, everybody shake their device. And what's tricky about it is the instructions will come up on the screen and the dial or knob or switch may be on your control panel, but it could also be on the control panel of another person playing the game. So it gets really chaotic. You have to shout out, you know, flip this switch, set this dial to level 3, and then everybody has to look and see if they have that control. And you're timed. You have a certain amount of time to do that. And if you start to fail more and more, then your control panels will start to fall off and knobs will start to you know, get electrocuted.
Melt and,
you
have to and tap. Start goo yeah, starts
have to
coming out.
Tap on those to fix them and then also flip the switch and you're flying through space. And the idea is in each level to get to sort of the end. You know, there's a little spaceship along the top and you're trying to get from one end to the other. And then you clear the level or the stage. I think they call them sectors. And then you move on to the next sector.
Yeah, so it's a crazy game.
It's crazy game, and it's a really fun like party game now that it's on the Apple TV, because you can have a person on the Apple TV. And the way it works on the Apple TV is you just have a linear set of controls, and then you just swipe back and forth to move a little, it looks like a cat paw under the control you need to activate, and then you click the remote and it activates that. So it's a little kind of fewer, less complex controls, but it's still a ton of fun. We played last night and it was hilarious. And it's funny because all the names of the controls are really weird or funny sorts of things.
Yeah, the spring-loaded irritant or the, what else you got here? The photo lamp or the twin mirror.
You know,
the big McClapper and the leftovers and the infrared.
So everybody sounds like they're totally insane as they're yelling out.
It just feels like classic Star Trek technobabble.
Flip the Dinglehopper to, you know, on.
Yeah, set big McClapper to 3.
Yeah, exactly that.
Big McClapper set to 3.
Yeah, it's totally that. So it's a really fun thing to do if someone else is like a friend is driving you somewhere on a road trip and you're in the back seat. And so the two people in the back seat are doing it and they're shouting this nonsense. And they're like, what the hell are you people doing back there?
Yeah. And it's free.
It is free.
There's no in-app purchase or anything like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they should.
I think there are some upgrades you can get and some additional game modes and levels that you can buy if you want, but the basic game is totally free and it's a blast.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, you don't need to spend money to enjoy the game. Mm-hmm.
But spend money because these developers, it's awesome. It's fun.
Totally.
So there you go.
Space Team. So my pick is Provenance TV. It is free, and that's because it's an open source project that you have to get from GitHub and sideload to your Apple TV. So you need a USB-C, some kind of adapter. I bought on Amazon a pair of micro USB to USB-C adapters. So they're probably not suited for charging things, but they're great for loading things on your Apple TV. And so Provenance TV is a console emulator.
Provenance,
yes. And and so it's full of a bunch of different emulators. I'm hoping they get N64. That would be really cool. But it's totally compatible with the MFI remote or the MFI game controllers. So they currently support Sega Master System, Sega Genesis, Mega CD, Game Gear, Nintendo NES, Famicom, SNES, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. It's a really nice UI. It's really easy to use, really easy to load ROMs on there. And like I said, it's fully MFI controller compatible. So you can do up to two. So I did, when I had two controllers, I did Sonic and Knuckles two player, but it was just one of those things where it's like not that interesting because early two player console games were just not that interesting. So, but cool. Yeah, you can play, you know, Super Mario Brothers and Sega or Sonic the Hedgehog, that sort of stuff. It's really cool. A lot of fun. It's just like added so much value to the Apple TV instantly.
You do have to sideload it.
You have to sideload it, yeah. But
they haven't gotten a takedown notice.
I don't think they will. Because I don't think they have a developer account to begin with. So Apple doesn't have any leverage. So yeah, Provenance, check it out. There's a link to the GitHub in the show notes. And with that, you can find all of our iPhone picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes or rate the show. Tell a friend. Appreciate that. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send your feedback, questions, comments, all that stuff. And you can, of course, leave your comments on theiosshow.com as well, because we have the discuss comment thingy at the bottom of every show. Sponsors, of course, Text Expander. Check them out at smilesoftware.com/TIOSS and automatic.com. Use the code TheIOSShow to get $20 off the Automatic car adapter. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast, MattCast.com, and at MattCast on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
And you can follow him on Twitter while he's scoping out the Apple Store and, and if, trying to get a pencil.
One other thing to quickly promote, if you want more of me talking about the iPad Pro and my experiences, I did a ton of podcasting this week. So check out the Mac Show at thebritishtechnetwork.com. And Jeff and I also discussed it on the TMO Daily Observations. I think, what, on Thursday? Was that Thursday, Jeff?
Thursday, yes. And it was an awesome show.
Cool.
Yep. So check those out.
Cool. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, and, of course, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at jgamet on Twitter.
And it's awesome to be here.
Awesome to have you.
Every single week.
Yeah. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? Stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. No. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus.